This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, George. George Mean is here. It's time for us to check in on the world of cars. George is, of course, the CEO of Auto Trader in his daytime job, his actual job. And then he pops in here every Friday to give us an update. He's just got back from San Francisco.
Yeah, it's getting dirtier there.
Is it? Yeah. Some of those homeless people.
How's it, Leanne? Hello, Sia. Hello, Ben.
Was it cold? Because America, apparently the temperature in Chicago yesterday was colder than the temperature in the Antarctic.
People are dying.
Yeah.
And having limbs amputated.
They're going through what they call a polar vortex. Now, I know Chicago's a long way from San Fran where you were, but was it chilly?
At night, but no. It wasn't chilly. It was
the Midwest, basically, mainly where it's been.
Every time I've been to America, except for this time, I've been stuck there for 2 days in some sort of snowstorm.
Really?
Every single time.
So you always go in February or January?
Yes.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I was stuck in New York a couple of years ago for 2 days extra.
Yeah.
Because there was a blizzard.
And it's not like you can go out and enjoy the place when there's a blizzard.
Well, funny thing is, I was stupid enough to say, well, stuff this, I'm going to go walk around Central Park.
Uh-oh.
And it wasn't blizzard that day, but it was freaking cold.
And there's that black ice all over the roads. You slip and slide and fall unless you've got boots on.
It was cold and it was slippery.
All right, and so why were you in San Fran?
So there is a big automotive show that goes on there every year, and 28,000 people descend on the show. It's one of the biggest, well, it is the biggest in the world. So if you're anybody that's anybody in the automotive world, you've got to go there.
Sounds amazing. What did you see? What did you hear? Who did you meet?
A lot of people. So I've been going there for a number of years, and you know, the first year I went, it was foreign, and you learn stuff. Now I'm going, and I'm actually, you know, busier than I expect to be, because you're looking at the show, you're going to visit companies, and then you're having meetings, and your day just gets incredibly busy.
Are there interesting new ideas bobbing around at these things? Are you talking to the people who are on the creative edge when it comes to electronic cars and
San Francisco, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff exists there, and you get to experience the first world of where all our digital technology comes from.
Mm. Well, you are in the middle of like
Silicon Valley,
the world's most creative place.
So it's fascinating. San Francisco itself seems to be getting dirtier.
Well, it is. They've got a problem. They vote Democrat. San Francisco is attempting to be the most left-leaning city in America. It always has. Right. And for some, you know, reasons, that's a great thing. Clearly, it's a place where you could be very free and, you know, people are allowed to be who they want to be, but it's expensive as all hell. And what happens is people can't afford the rents. They've got higher homelessness rates in San Francisco than anywhere else in America. There are more homeless people on the streets of San Fran than any other city. And it's run by these lefties who, you know, they really are more interested in social issues than practical economic issues, and they end up not being able to balance their budgets. San Francisco is a tough place to live in, unless you are a billionaire. And if you do work for Google or for Facebook or any of these places, it's very hard to find a place to live, even if you're being paid a lot of money.
I was fascinated by the increase in the number of homeless people on the streets itself. And these people are massively affected by drugs.
Yeah.
And they walk down the street and they shouting at some invisible person next to them.
Well, there's a lot of mental illness too among homeless people. That's a reality.
You know, I took one or two photographs of a lady that was sitting at the entrance to an underground, and she looked normal. Yep. Until she opened her mouth.
Exactly. George Meany, you bastard! Right?
Exactly like
that. They start screaming at you.
Scream and carry on. And, you know, you don't feel threatened because... I didn't feel threatened unless it was a false sense of security. But it's fascinating that this goes on.
Yeah, say all you want about Texas. It doesn't happen there. Really?
No, never been there. No.
So, okay, let's get into some of the stories of the day. It sounds like you had a very good trip. You must be armed with plenty of useful and interesting information. Give us a taste.
I'll give you a taste. So, starting from home,
Okay.
South Africa's electric car sales are projected to grow significantly. So the worldwide percentage of electric cars is at around 11%.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And South African naysayers think that South Africa is not ready for it. There's no charging stations. How are we going to get these things to Durban or Cape Town? But we must remember that our products come from Europe and Asia.
Yes.
We don't get our products from America.
Yes.
And Europe and Asia have this path to electrification that we can't stop. So we have to electrify.
Right.
So the projection is we are going to be electrified sooner than we think. And we'll probably reach probably about 10% of our sales within the next couple of years will be electric cars.
Hmm. Now, so in other words, for us, it's inevitable.
Yes.
It's not going to be like in America where you have your gas-guzzling diesel engine pickup truck for another 100 years because that's what you want to do and you can fight the system. We're basically going to have to go electric. This is great news and it's terrifying. First of all, it's great news because we want to get off of petrol. The petrol price is a massive problem for us to deal with, and the prices of everything keep going up because of the petrol price being so irregular. But then we have Eskom as our main electricity provider, which means that there may be lots of people who are stranded because their car couldn't charge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's why
didn't you come to work? Because I was load shedded.
Yeah. I don't know if this is all good, but let's try to be optimistic.
Well, one of the biggest barriers that we have to get over in the next very short while is import taxes on cars, because trying to import an electric car now is hard because of the import taxes. So once that is resolved and the National Automobile Association of South Africa is addressing this import tax issue, because once that import tax there's relief on it for electric vehicles,
okay,
we'll see the growth rate climb.
All right.
And then the world's longest electric car journey hit 89,000 kilometers. This guy retrofitted a VW that couldn't do more than 200 kilometers on a single charge. And he managed to do 89,000 kilometers from Europe all the way to Australia.
Amazing.
And he did it with no money. So all he relied on was people giving him a meal, a place to sleep, and charging his car.
Oh, goodness.
That's all he relied on.
How long did it take him?
Took him 1,050 days across 33 countries.
Well, you know, I always wonder about these people who get to do these things, break these records. They obviously don't have jobs because that's 1,000. That's 3 years.
Yeah, that's 3 years to do a very, very, very long trip. Don't know if I would want to, but good on him. Good on him.
All right.
And then I pulled this one out just for you, Gareth. Mm-hmm. Touch your steering wheel. Mm-hmm. It may be dirtier than a toilet seat.
No, I know. I knew it all along. You know, if I get like an itchy eye and I scratch my eye while I'm driving, it ends up swelling up because of all this shit that's on there.
Okay, so some people did some research, and they surveyed 1,000 drivers and asked them how often they clean their car. A third of people clean their car once a year.
Oh, filthy, dirty animal. that's animal. You shouldn't even have a car if you treat it like that.
12% of people never wash their car in the lifetime of having that car.
That is revolting. And the rest?
700 strains of live bacteria are inside the average car. Meaning that when you eat food in your car, you're exposing yourself to getting sick. Because as food spills on the interior and the sun bakes on it, there's bacteria that begins growing. And the technical term is colony-forming units of bacteria. The average car steering wheel was found to have 629 colony-forming units per square centimeter.
I must stop licking it.
Now, here's some other statistics. your car steering, or maybe not your car steering, but the average car steering is 6 times dirtier than the cell phone screen.
Yeah. Oh, and we know how filthy that is.
4 times dirtier than a public toilet seat.
Jeez.
And 2 times dirtier than an elevator button. But guess what is more dirty than all of them? A petrol pump.
Alan Ford's sulfur.
A petrol pump.
11,000 times dirtier.
No. A petrol pump is.
A petrol pump.
Oh, well,
the handle of it.
But are they doing that in America? Because you know, again, everybody who pulls up has to fill their own car.
Oh,
so
okay.
You get filthy people who pitch up. I think in South Africa, because we've got petrol attendants, it's probably a little less because it's the same person's hands over and over again.
Well, I'm glad that's this American thing, because then what would the credit card machine then be?
Imagine
a credit card machine from the dirty pump.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
They did research on escalators. The one study they did, the highest, the biggest load of stuff that they found was actually semen.
On an escalator?
Yeah.
Oh,
nasty. It's always cracking one off in the box there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just gross.
All right. Jeez. Well, then I'm afraid to get into my car. I thought it was my safe space. Clearly not. I've got that. I know you've got the problem too. You keep alcohol, like a
hand sanitizer. Yeah,
you keep that in your bag, right?
I keep it. I keep one in my bag, one in my car, one on my desk.
There we go. George and I. George even installed one at the entrance to his offices. How do you like that?
Whoa!
Yeah, to keep people, because they obviously touch things as they enter the building, and he wants them clean. I think that's very sensible.
The bacteria that we can't see is the stuff that makes us sick.
Yeah.
It passes the germs.
And who
around.
Wants to get sick? Listen, I feel sorry for parents. Their kids go to school. They got no chance. Those kids are going to come home full of bacteria and diseases from other people's filthy little children. And then the whole family gets sick.
Exactly. And it gets passed around.
It's really one of the things I thought about when I decided I wasn't going to have children. That I wouldn't at least have to deal with other people's germs coming into my house thanks to little brats. Really?
But now your own germs in your own car might be killing you.
Oh, it's horrible.
Well, Gareth washes his car, so it's all right.
Plus, I have my dog in the car so often. I mean, it must be even worse.
Yeah, that's bad. That's very bad.
On a lighter note, you can avoid a speeding ticket now if you drive a Ford, because Ford has developed this new technology that you can switch on and off, obviously, controls the car's throttle depending on what the cameras see on the road signs.
Oh, wow.
So if it says 60 k's an hour, the car will automatically not allow itself to go over 60 kilometers an hour.
Brilliant.
Which I think is a good idea.
Especially for long road trips, that's useful.
Yes, you can push that throttle as much as you want. And then Google is coming out with a Google Maps update.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's already in San Francisco. Now they're rolling it out to the rest of America. We will get it last probably in 2030.
What do you use as your navigating tool? Do you use
Google Maps?
Google Maps.
A lot of people use Waze. Waze already has this technology that I'm about to talk about. So it's nice that Google's getting it. And that is a display of the speed limit at the bottom of the map.
I got that. Waze is fantastic. Yeah. I never use anything else. It's never let me down. Waze is always right. I trust Waze. Someone will say to me, turn left here, turn left here. And Waze says, keep going. I keep going. I don't listen to people.
Waze knows best.
They can even tell you where there's congestion and traffic, and I've saved hours of my life. Thank God. I want to thank the Lord for Waze right now. I want to take 5 seconds of the day to thank the Lord for Waze. And all those brilliant people who invented that app. Oh, God bless you all.
And the church said, a Waze.
There we go. All right. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.